Foo Fighters and times like these here on Malloy all around Australia on Triple M on the free listener app as well with Mick Malloy joining us now. He's a friend of the show. It's the great Merrick Watts.
Hi, Merrick. Malloy. How are you?
Hey, Maz.
Great to be back on the show. How are you,
great,
guys?
Good to have you, mate. To catch up with you. We've got a bit to unpack today. Just before we start, congratulations to you and Django. Your dog, yes. I noticed on your Instagram that he's won an award. What was it?
Yeah. Well, it's got a certificate for doggy school. So it's also, too, for actually having her own gender identified. You refer to her as a boy. And she's actually a girl. We found that out. we found that a little bit late. It's weird with dogs. You can't really tell, or can you?
No, you can't. If you can, you're concentrating too hard on that particular issue. I always assume
it's interesting with animals.
Yeah,
I assume all dogs are boys until I'm informed otherwise. I don't know why I do that.
Between the human world and the dog world, right? In the human world, the ladies have the lipstick. In the dog world, the boys have the lipstick. It's
see?
Very
there. It is. Now, I asked, graduating, does the dog go to school? Do the dogs have a schoolies week, like where they graduate, or is there I just go and sniff bums down the park? What do they do?
Filthy. Django was halfway on her way to a Jetstar flight wearing a singlet to the Gold Coast with a bag full of pills. And unfortunately, at the last minute, it all fell over. So we've had to cancel it. I mean, obviously, with COVID restrictions and like, look, we looked into it. I was on the internet for like hours going, sure. You know, can your dog carry pills on a Jetstar flight to the Gold Coast? And the answer is, at the moment, no.
No. And of course, with dogs, you have to hide those pills in dog food to get them to actually take it. So there it is. Now, Merrick, you are deep in the heartland of Rabbitohs territory.
Yeah.
What's the mood like on the ground post the loss?
The NRL Grand Final, yeah. Look, I live in Maroubra, which is very strong Rabbitohs territory. Yeah. And, look, it was deeply felt here. It was interesting in the build-up to the Grand Final, which I will say is one of the best Grand Finals I've seen. It was unreal to watch, and both teams left everything out on the field. So it was good. But it was amazing, like, how, as a community, Maroubra just goes absolutely into another level with Rabbitohs at a grand final. Like, it literally just lit up green and red everywhere. And then on Monday morning, I went for a run, and I couldn't help but notice that along the coastline, there was a lot of Rabbitohs flags in the bin, just dumped in the bin. I just thought, geez, they turn quick around here, don't they?
It's like, you're done.
Sunday,
you're cooked.
Love you. You're the best in the world on the Sunday. Monday, you're in the bin.
It's a tough world we live in. Maroubra. Now, that was home of the Bra Boys, wasn't it, Maroubra?
Yeah, absolutely. Kobe Abbott from SAS Australia.
He was going to go all the way.
The best
yeah, me too.
Yes.
I thought he was
yes,
right
so
in the
I.
hunt. Not that popular with some of the other contestants, but I thought he was going to go. And hold that thought, Merrick. I'm going to come back and we're going to talk to you about SAS and the new season in just a moment.
All right,
are you happy to hang around?
Absolutely.
All right, it's Malloy, Triple M. Yeehaw! It is Malloy on Triple M with Mick Malloy all around Australia. What?
Dave,
what?
No. What is that?
Yeehaw.
Not in front of our guests. I'm sorry, Merrick. That is Dave trialling his new catchphrase, which is, is it, Dave?
It's yeehaw. I did a TV commercial about 25 years ago. I played a cowboy, Mez, and I'm thinking, like, Mick's got great catchphrases, you know, boom, chakalaka, and Mickey, and all that sort of stuff. So I've got no catchphrase. And it was staring me right in the face, Mez. Yeehaw!
Yeah, Yep, and I know what that's called too, technically. That catchphrase is called reverse cowgirl. And you have absolutely found a new one.
Boy, just ignore him, Merrick, and let's push on.
Wow.
Hey, mentioned the Rabbitohs. Sam Burgess, of course, is one of the more famous Rabbitohs, has caused a stink on SAS, and I thought he was possibly going to go all the way. Until I learned he had two showers in 8 days on SAS Australia. I'm putting it to you, that's woofy.
Yeah, well, look, to be honest, I did 13 and I didn't have a single shower in 13 days. But that's because because I've got a very small dignity that I did not want the public to see, a very tiny dignity. And I just went, I don't think we need to have showers. And everyone's gone, mate, have a shower. There's hot showers if you want. I was like, no, we're right. Let's just be SAS about this. Let's go 13 days. And when I finally got out, I literally had to have three showers. I'd get out back in, three showers before I got all the mud off me. It was really
You know what James does? James Blake, who works on this show, has a pre-bath shower and then a post-bath shower. So you go shower, bath, shower.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, because I've had a shower with him before, and I found it unusual at the start, but I was like, oh, you know, each to their own.
I want a urinal in my bathroom, but we'll talk about that later. I want to stick with SAS just for a moment. What are you making of this season? We're going down to the final five. Mm. You've been there. You know what you're talking about. You host a show. What's the show you host?
It's called the SAS Australia Debrief.
So Debrief, and where can people find that?
You know, on the internet.
Podcast, it is.
What is it, a secret show or something? I'm not allowed to listen, or
you
got all cagey all of a sudden.
You find it on the podcast. It's on iHeartRadio, which is your direct competition.
It doesn't matter.
We're a listener camp here, but that's okay.
We're a listener.
We're all right. That's okay. We're happy to promote other shows. That's fine.
Whatever. We're allowed to.
You're not. But whatever. That's great. You know, it just shows you how little standards I've got. it's interesting because I really do. I love watching SAS Australia, and the new season is fantastic. I've massive raps on Sam Burgess. I think he's an absolute gun
from
day one. But oh yeah, definitely. You can just see it in his eyes. He's got the determination. What's great, he's got a bit of smarts around him as well. It's not just all brawn. He's got a bit of brains around it. Yana Pittman is my absolute favourite. Yana.
She's
unreal. But my favourite viewing, Mick, and I don't know if you've caught this bloke, but there's an actor called Dan Ewing.
Yes.
And Dan is he's an actor. He was on Home and Away for a couple of stretches. He played a couple of different characters, actually, on Home and Away. Ironically, he was one of the River Boys, which was the kind of takeoff of the Bra Boys. And then he found himself on a show with an actual Bra Boy, which I cannot tell you how funny I found that. It's like the real one, the real, real one. Yeah, the one who almost went to prison. And then there's Dan Ewing. One went to a dentist and had their teeth white. Dan, look, I like him. I think he's great entertainment. I also think he's a very, very good competitor on SAS Australia. But I have noticed a bit of a trend, and people have brought it up with me and said, have you noticed or found out what Dan Ewing does for a living? Now, I found some audio because I had to trawl really, really hard for this, Mick. But have a listen and you tell me if you can distinguish what Dan Ewing does for a living.
Stepping into SAS selection as an actor is quite an interesting undertaking. There's no acting on this course for me. This is Dan Ewing. What's really going to be of benefit to me as an actor is my preparation. I do think some people underestimate how hard it can be to be an actor. The thing as an actor, it's quite weird when in the back of your mind, you're 110% in it, but you know you've got the stunt guys looking after you. Pressure is such a huge part of an actor's life. You have to be really grounded and really strong to cope with that. So on the SAS selection course, it's on me to keep my focus, think with my higher self, feel with my higher self, and continue to make decisions and not get wrapped up in what's going on around me.
I think...
Now, Mick.
Is he an electrician? I don't know. He's an actor.
Come on. Mick, you've done acting. I've done acting. Let's be honest, it is a piece of piss. It really is.
The pressure, what's the pressure? Don't fluff a line. Jeez Louise. Unbelievable. You're not defusing a bomb, you dickhead.
Mate, I've seen Cracky Jack. I don't recall you working at any stage. You did a great job, but I didn't see the work in it.
Yeah.
The closest thing you see to a bit of stunt work is 3 inches of arse crack poking out the back of my pants as I bend down to deliver a bowl.
I did find it a little bit rich, Mick, and it's funny, you know, when he was talking about, like, SAS Australia is legitimately the hardest thing you can ever do. It's absolutely brutal. But the idea that Dan was taking in some real-world skills from the acting department... it could help but make me think of this classic scene where an actor is put into a warlike situation. Is this the same?
Oh, shit. Come on, Gary. Act. You have the power. Durka Durka. Haka Sherpa Sherpa. A bacala. Oh, Durka Durka Durka.
Right, Gary!
Told you he was Top Gun.
I've never seen acting that good.
He's amazing.
That's from Team America, one of my all-time favourite films. It's in my top 10 best films of all time. Durka Durka Durka.
That's brilliant. So good.
I love it. Mate, can you hang around? There's been some discussion on the show about whether I should have a urinal in my bathroom. I'm pushing for it.
I'm not going anywhere.
I think it solves a lot of problems. I'd like to hear your thoughts on the matter. All Matt Watts. Right.
Sticking around with us. Yeehaw! Malloy, Triple M.
No, Dave.
Triple M, you are listening to Malloy with Merrick Watts. He's going to stick around for another break, which is always great here on Triple M.
Merrick, So thank you for hanging around, and we want to quiz you. We want to take the temperature on this one. I said earlier that there was a Meghan Trainor, who's a musician, said at her house she has female and male toilets.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? I'm okay with that, because this is where a lot of the tension starts, at home, as we all know. The age-old toilet seat up, toilet seat down. Then I pushed. I said, I would love, it would be a sign of you've made it, Mickey, would be a urinal in my bathroom at home. Now, not necessarily one with a grill that you stand on, but you know the
classic
you know the single ones, the kind of egg-shaped wall ones.
Cup. Yep.
It's one of those. It's next to the actual toilet. So, girls, we'll never wee on the seat again. I've got mine. You've got yours. And it kind of polarized the audience out there. Do you have an opinion?
Oh, absolutely. Well, Mick, I can speak to it, Mick, because I have a urinal, like you're saying, at home, at my house. My wife calls it the sink. It serves the same purpose. It's at the same height, and it's made of the same stuff. Now, look, in all honesty, I would love to have a urinal in my house. Like, it's just, there's the only thing that I miss from not living way out in the burbs of Melbourne and growing up in Eltham is being able to go out in the backyard and take a slash. That was like, going outside, peeing on a lemon tree is gold.
Well, right? Remember, we've come a long way. I mean, all toilets used to be outdoors.
Yeah, that's true.
So you used to have to go out there. The only option there now is your port-a-loo, which has kind of lost some of the magic from the choke vine over the outdoor dunny. You know, that was, to me, the high watermark of weeing outdoors. But I think, look, you know, a couple of urinal cakes, whooshka, off you go, and who's getting hurt?
Yeah, that's. I was going to ask you that, Mick. Would you be one of those folks that, you know, you have your ice hockey pucks in the bottom there, like, you know, the urinal cakes? Yes. Do you have them there, or you're a bit more kind of classy and you just go, no, this gets cleaned enough that it doesn't even require the piss cake?
I'm not throwing it around on the bathroom floor. They're actually in the urinal.
Right.
But I thought of this. And the other look I would maybe go for is the prison cell toilet, which has no lid at all. Okay. And nothing that you can actually hold on to.
Stainless steel.
Stainless steel. Okay. Stainless steel with no lid. That could win you Bell Bathroom of the Year.
That stainless steel look is very popular with fridges and kitchens at the moment. And I think that it should make its way into the bathroom as well. And the other great thing, too, is not only do you never have to worry about putting the seat up or down, you can also, at any stage, you know, smash your roommate's face into it, which is a huge benefit. And that's been proven in prison. That's not something that I'm hypothesizing. Happened.
I don't leave it up or down. I leave the toilet seat on a 45-degree angle, just so everyone gets involved. Dave, have we got any calls?
We've got a bunch of calls. We've got a Scott who's in Sydney. G'day, Scott.
G'day, Mickey. How are you?
Yeah, we're good, mate. What are you thinking? Yeah. Have you got a view on this?
When I was designing a bathroom at home, I said to my wife, we need a urinal. She goes, that's a stupid idea. So it had to happen. So to back it up with a urinal, I put a TV above it. And being a massive cricket fan, the first time I used it, I walked in, they took a wicket. I tapped the side of my head. I said, I'm a smart man. This thing will.
Now, I'll tell you this. You're ahead of the curve there, because most guys are still taking reading material.
Yeah.
So off you go with the reading material under one arm. You've taken it a bit further and multimediaized it.
Oh, well done, Scott.
You could sit there and, do business.
Well, not the urinal.
I've got something else that works better. There's a toilet next to it. If you look in the mirror, you can sit down, do a number two, and still see the TV in the reflection.
Yeah,
you're a genius. Yeah. This is Stephen Hawking style Brilliant.
Hey, seriously, why don't you just take a bucket and bring it into your lounge room, Tiger? Seriously.
Well, mate, it's a chamber pot, Eric, and I have one.
Is one here?
Which I keep in the office here at work. It's under the desk.
A bit weird. We get a lot of questions about it. But yeah.
A chamber pot, it just saves the legwork in the middle of the night.
Okay.
Really disgusting. Feel that way.
Hey,
good
Jack's,
call.
Jack's on the phone. G'day, Jack.
Yep.
Hi, Mick. Hi, Eric. Dave.
Hello, mate.
Yeah, mate, what's your thoughts on the matter?
Well, my thoughts on the matter, I went to Japan on a home exchange a few years ago, and we were warned before we left. No. We were warned before we went that you might end up in a homestay which had a traditional squat toilet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, yep.
So yep. I've rolled into the toilet for the first time and gone, right, this will be interesting to see what we got. And I walked in. And there is the normal toilet with more bells, whistles, and lights on it than you've ever seen in your life.
But you need a pilot's license to snap one off in Japan.
You do. And this one actually had, they're talking about the lid. If you actually push the lid up to have a pee, when you walked away, it had a sensor to know that you'd moved away and it went down automatically. Wow. That's that part. Which was
this is the world
cool.
we live in.
Yeah.
This is the future.
That's the dream, that toy. I know exactly which one you're talking about there too, mate. That's a Toto, and I actually have researched them. They're amazing. They are also known colloquially as the Japanese tickler. They are amazing, those things.
They are.
Like, I mean, they are full service.
It's like going
service.
It's like going through a car wash. You know, it's got a number of different machines. All right, yeehaw!
Wait a minute, that's my catchphrase.
Merrick, thanks for joining us, mate. Anything to plug, Merrick?
I really enjoyed that.
No. Anything to plug?
No, mate, nothing to plug. You know, just lockdown. A Freedom Day Monday, so,
yes.
I mean, if you see me out and about on Freedom Day, say g'day, but only if you're wearing a mask and you're double vaxxed. Otherwise, go away.
Okay. In the meantime, thoughts and prayers are with you.
Yeah.
Thoughts and prayers.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Molloy.
Hey!